This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Got word that Jake Fisher of Bleacher Report had an exclusive that sources he tweeted out at Jake L. Fisher. Sources with knowledge of the situation have increasingly believed Kyrie Irving's willingness to opt out of Brooklyn, sign the $6 million taxpayer exception with the Lakers, where Irving can then re-sign long-term in 2023. Man, you talk about teams of fascination. Not that the Lakers aren't already fascinating because of their status in the league, but you add him to Westbrook, LeBron, Anthony Davis, the possibility for catastrophe is high, but if for some reason they stayed healthy and all got on the same page, I would love to see that too. Well, actually, I wouldn't because I want the Lakers to fail, but I mean, it would be fascinating to see.
It will be fascinating to see. I'm just looking at it going, what a crazy show that would be.
Yeah.
I mean, the NBA would love it, right? And I guess fans, we would love it as in,
I'd hate
it if it actually worked out, but I would not put it as a big percentage that it's going to work out with Westbrook, Kyrie, LeBron, and Anthony Davis all on the same team. But it would be fascinating if it did, and it makes all the sense that Kyrie would be the one person who turns down a $30 million in 1 year.
That's what I tell you. If somebody tells you they know what he's going to do, I call shenanigans on that.
I have something on that for tomorrow.
Okay.
Based off of our Jalen Brunson situation and the possible, maybe we'll know more 24 hours from now about Kyrie and what he's really going to do.
Now, let's talk about Arch Manning. And I'm seriously asking, what does history say about just how great Arch is going to be for Texas? And so I've got a list I want to run through for you guys, but I'm not surprised, but I was a little sad on Friday to learn that listening comprehension was a struggle for some Texas fans, and all of the great stuff we said, they discounted it all with the idea that, like, you guys are idiots. Everybody knows this is going to work out perfectly. And I was like, great. I'm really excited for you that it's going to work out perfectly. And Arch Manning is still in school, high school, for one more year. And then he's going to redshirt. And in those 2 years, Quinn Ewers is going to dominate everything. And then he'll be able to go to the NFL. So there will be no controversy. There will be no NIL issues. There will be no transferring conundrums or anything like that. Everything's going to work out perfectly. Awesome. Now, just real quick to go along with that, there's betting odds. Will Arch Manning redshirt his freshman year? No is minus 2,000, which would mean you would have to bet $20 to win $1. It is a 1 to 20, not a 20 to 1, a 1 to 20, which means the gambling community thinks it's overwhelmingly likely that he will not redshirt his freshman year. So take that for what you will.
Okay.
But
has there ever been, I don't know this, help me out, college football fans, has there ever been a number one overall quarterback out of high school that has redshirted and they're healthy?
I feel like
I'm sure it has happened, and I'm sure people are like, these thousand guys did it. But I feel like I would say at least in the last 20 years, it's rare that the number one overall big-time quarterback then redshirts his first year, but maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, and I think that the unique nature of this situation is that these two guys were both like number one recruits in their respective classes. So this would be a number one recruit coming in behind who was somebody who was a number one recruit.
And not to be lost in all of this, but Hudson Card is the number two quarterback recruit from the year before all of that.
Mm-hmm,
now,
mm-hmm.
Since you said 20 years, I have a list for you. We can discuss them. You can count them up in your head. Here is the top quarterback recruit for every class in the last 20 years. Now, I understand.
Is it me?
It is not you. Okay. Well, hold on. I got to tease it right. We'll see.
Ooh.
Right? Well, to be determined. I get that Quinn Ewers and Arch Manning are different because they share this distinction with Vince Young as being the only 24/7 quarterback prospects to be a 1.0. So there's just three of them in the last 20 years.
And for those who aren't familiar with those ranking systems, typically it's almost like what?
If you're the best, you'll get like a 0.997, 0.996. But like a one is, as we've just set up, very, very, very rare. All right, so here's the top quarterback prospects for the last 20 years. Like I said, we could discuss fan texters. You can count in your head and then text in the number at we get to the end. But this will give some insight. All right, we start in 2002. Vince Young. Well,
great.
Thumbs up. From there, he committed to the University of Miami. Kyle Wright.
I don't remember him.
Exactly. 2004, Rhett Bomar for Oklahoma.
I remember him. He had a fake job, right?
Yes.
From Grand Prairie or South Grand Prairie?
Yes, he did have a fake job. I do also believe he redshirted, which might have facilitated that fake job. This one was a little tough. Mark Sanchez with USC.
Didn't he not play until his senior year?
That is correct.
Oh, wow.
So, okay. I mean, on the one hand, like, he went to the NFL, had some success. I get that. But, like, just judging strictly from a college perspective, if you're the number one recruit in the country for a quarterbacks and you don't start until your last year, I don't know if I consider that a success.
But he was good in that last year, though.
No, he was very good in that last year. You're right. Matthew Stafford in 2006 with Georgia.
Really good at Georgia.
Jimmy Clausen with Notre Dame in 2007. Now pretend you're not Mel Kiper when figuring this out. Terrell Pryor with Ohio State in 2008.
I will always remember being in Columbus in 2008, getting to go to a practice in August, I will say, or it might have been late July, as being on the AAA team, and I got to go see Ohio State practice. Like, dude, this guy's the number one quarterback in the country. We just got him. And I was like, then how come he can't throw the ball 10 yards? I was like, I was amazed. I was like, he can't throw a football, but he could run. Yeah. It's amazing. You're sitting there going, wait, who ranked him number one?
Yeah.
The person who didn't care about throwing a football is.
Also, from the 573, this is a good point. Quinn Ewers literally was, you know, recruited as the top recruit at Ohio State and then redshirted.
Yeah, I think that's
weird
because
he was
though.
A senior in high school.
Yeah, he skipped his senior year of high school.
That is true, but he should have been a senior in high school.
I think that situation is a little different, but I understand their point. Matt Barkley, 2009, USC.
Some of these guys have to try and, like, forget their NFL portions and just remember the college because Matt Barkley in the NFL was laughable.
Well, get ready for this one.
He wasn't great in college either.
That's fair. Phillip Sims of Alabama in 2010. Exactly.
Oh, man, that was the time period where you just had a whole bunch of SEC quarterbacks where you had to create your own SEC quarterback.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Jeff Driscoll, 2011, Florida.
Okay.
Jameis Winston, 2012, Florida State.
Yeah, it's a whole different level.
Absolutely. So, but I'm going to keep going through the rest of this list. Keep your tally going. But I think you're probably understanding my point along the way. Max Brown with USC in USC in 2013. Kyle Allen with Texas A&M in 2014. Josh Rosen with UCLA in 2015. Shea Patterson with Mississippi in 2016. Now
after
hero
leaving Michigan
of the USFL. Davis Mills, Stanford, 2017. Trevor Lawrence, Clemson, 2018.
He's all right.
Yeah, that seems like that's worked out pretty well. Spencer Rattler, Oklahoma, 2019. Has not worked out as well thus far. Bryce Young, Alabama, 2020. Already won the Heisman Trophy. And then Quinn Ewers, Ohio State, 2021. Now, I gave a we'll see for Spencer Rattler and Quinn Ewers, and I already gave the thumbs up to Bryce Young. He already won the Heisman Trophy, so he gets a thumbs up. Going down the list, out of those 20, I gave 7 thumbs up, 11 thumbs down, and 2 to be determined. So
okay.
My point is less than half of these work out. Do you think that is indicative of the odds of Arch Manning, or do you think, and Quinn Ewers to a certain extent, or do you think the level of prospect, because Arch Manning, some people think, is the best quarterbacking prospect in a generation. So
it's Trevor Lawrence, correct? That's what everybody's saying.
Some people think even better than Trevor
Lawrence. And that's, hey, that's great. So I will say, yes, there's different levels. He's going to be good to great wherever he goes. It might not be his freshman year that he throws 40 touchdowns and 4 interceptions or the crazy numbers that you put up in college. But I just think that he is at a level. It's, you know, we can't remember. I can't remember, hey, Matt Barkley's the number one player in high school and what I really thought or what people really thought of him back then. But hearing those names, I'd say there were certain people where you're just like, yeah, they're going to make it no matter what. And he's picking right now, I guess he could be picking the worst school out of all the schools he could possibly go to. And I hate saying that for UT fans. What I'm saying is most of the other schools you would say are national contenders right now, right?
Yeah.
That they would be going, he'd be going to a school that probably you'd look at and go, oh man, they won 9 games. They were in the national championship. Like if he picked Clemson, I'd say, well, he's going to be successful.
His other options, I know Clemson and Georgia were high up on the list. Also Virginia. Virginia would fit that mold, but we talked about some of the connections there. I remember being really
Wait, for Arch?
Yeah.
Alabama as well.
Yeah, okay. Well, I mean, and the rest of those all make sense. And I know we talked about the reasons for the Virginia connection, but when I saw a next 3 years top 25 that ESPN put out, they did not have Texas in the top 25 at all, which I found to be fairly stunning. So it just kind of depends. Do you believe, by the way, over the weekend, University of Texas did add 5 commits for the class of 2023. So like, was this just always going to be part of their junior days? Was it a bump from the Arch Manning effect where everybody wanted to be there? I'm not sure about a lot of that stuff, but that's why I was curious because somebody, maybe they were joking, maybe they weren't, from the 469. Arch Manning, goodbye 5-7. Hello, 7-5. And I know that is the concern that some people have, but I want to make it very clear. I think this is a huge get for Texas. They don't always have the best track record of developing these. Although, now that we look back at USC quarterbacks, sometimes you can make that argument about them as well.
And I think the development point is a great one, but I think that this is distinct from, like, some of the history. The reason why you go and get Steve Sarkisian is because he knows offense.
Yes.
Like, that's the one given.
Yes, he does.
Now, we are not certain that he can be, like, the full head coach, and especially in the way that the University of Texas requires you to be a head coach, almost politician and all these other things. But the one thing that he should be able to do well, and we even saw it just not consistently last year, was coach up offense. So the idea being you get that level of talent, you get, you know, additional talent like you've already talked about when it comes to, like, the recruiting that they're doing thus far. I think you do that, and they've also done a really good job of making sure to get offensive line recruits as well.
Yes, thank you,
that
Pancake
offense
Factory
should come together.
That. Could you envision a scenario in which the offense really clicks, Arch Manning thrives, or Quinn Ewers thrives, if that's your preferred, because it's all going to work in harmony, and maybe the team still doesn't get to that elite level because you just mentioned it, Sarkisian has struggled mightily as a head coach. So could you envision a scenario where Arch or Quinn, they thrive. Elements of the offense thrive, but Texas is still even your 8-4s, which is good. But
I assume that's what's going to happen at this point. Just like the Seattle Mariners, which I'll be talking about here pretty soon, I will always pick Texas to be an below average football team until they prove otherwise.
Maybe once you get to the SEC, I think while you're still in the Big 12, if you could scheme up offense, you can make this go. I think the SEC provides it just a little bit different of a challenge where you're going to need to do this both ways. Like, you're still going to end up like playing Ole Miss where you've got Lane Kiffin scheming up a whole bunch of offense and trying to just gun this thing. But I mean, with that level of quarterback play as well, they should have a good time. I don't know that I could see both the quarterbacks being great with what we know about football and how much the quarterback matters. And then, like, the defense being Manny Diaz against BYU bad, right?
Oh.
I'll never forget that. He had to pack up his stuff because he let, what was it? Was it Taysom? Taysom run up on him?
Oh, my God.
Because it was back-to-back years, wasn't it?
That might be why he's still in the league, because they saw that game highlight, and they're like, we got to keep him around.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.